I'm Bruce Worsen, pastor of His Place Community Church. The following message came from a Sunday morning right here at His Place.
Do you prefer to serve or be served?
Serve.
Yeah, that's the right answer. Now, tell me what the true answer is. It's true. No, it's true. Once you try it right, it feels real good, but it's awfully, awfully difficult. And I want you to really think about it, because self-serving is incredibly sneaky. And even our most selfless moments can get tainted by our selfish thoughts. And for example, I'm going to confess to you, generally I pray like my longest prayer of the day while I'm driving, because it's great alone time. And I'm able to speak casually, out loud with God. Sometimes I'm like yelling while I'm driving. Lord, what are we doing about all this stuff? But I get to talk about everything that I got going on, from like people in my life and projects, like that accursed bathroom remodel. I'm like, Lord, what are we doing? And to health and hobbies, everything, right? I'm just having my conversation with the Lord. But I'll tell you, three times this year, I caught my self-serving heart trying to sneak into my prayers. I was not trying to. It was the evil that's inside me. Because three times now, instead of addressing my prayer to God, I accidentally started my prayer by saying, Alexa, that is a big no-no. I said, Alexa, to start my prayer, like I just started the conversation, my conversation with the creator of the universe, like I was about to set a reminder or make a shopping list or just Google a question, you know, Alexa, you know, what are we going to do in our marriage right now? You know, that kind of, you don't do that. And at least the good news is I haven't made the opposite mistake yet. I haven't called Alexa God, like, dear God, make a shopping list. So I'm okay. But according to old Sigmund, that is weird. I got a problem. I like the idea that everyone is just judging me like, oh, I've never had that. You're an awful person, Noah. Because according to Sigmund Freud, the founder of psychoanalysis, this kind of slip, right, the Freudian slip, occurs when our unconscious thoughts kind of bubble up to the surface and influence our conscious behaviors. You know, famously, they say it's when you say one thing, but you mean a mother. Which is a Freudian slip. And this makes sense, because I know what I was about to pray for. And subconsciously, I was about to treat God as my digital assistant rather than my spiritual superior. You know, asking him for favors, making lists, et cetera, et cetera. Because it is so easy to see a server as inferior, right? And he came to serve. And yet, helpers are anything but helpless. Because think about it. In fact, a server's whole role is to provide what we can't or we won't. And so to make that point, I want you to just think about like teachers, public servants, right? These are what we call public servants, teachers, firefighters, social workers, etc. They are not by any means beneath us. They actually possess these superior skills that we need. Because regardless of whether we're incapable or just unwilling, what really defines our servers is that servers step in where we fall short. Okay, so it's not like they have to, it's just that they help. And because we all fall short, which is what we know, which is why we're in this building, because we all fall short, Jesus stepped in for everybody. And he tells us, for even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve. And to give his life as a ransom for many. But as great as that sounds, okay, we got, you know, the creator of the universe working for us. No, no, no. He also said, I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them. Okay, so really the bottom line is this. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. No, 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 no. Do what it says, okay? That's it. Do what it says. Contrary to what some Christians think or would like to think, Jesus didn't serve to let us off the hook, but to put us on the spot. Okay, he's teeing us up. We are supposed to see his example of serving as our call to follow. Because somehow, serving is supposed to help us overpower death and live a life beyond this world. The exact same way that Jesus' humble love made him the first to ever conquer the grave. We know that. And this is what he says straight out. I have told you these things so that in me, says Jesus, you may have peace. Now, in this world, you will have trouble. That's a promise. You will have trouble. But take heart. I've overcome the world. And I want to stop there for a second because we need to remember, we've talked about this before. Jesus is not saying, don't worry, I've conquered it for you. You know, just hang in there and we're all done. No, no, no. He is saying, I've overcome the world, as in, don't worry, you can too. It's up to you. And just to put a fine point on that, this is why John actually later says, confirming it, well, who is it that overcomes the world? Only the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. Okay? Well, Jesus believed that. So do we. So we're called to it. Because when we believe that only Jesus knew what we have to do to escape death, well, then his example becomes our plan, right? That's me too. Let's do that same thing. And as he himself said, he came to serve. That was primary to why he came here. So the question is, okay, we're supposed to serve. Well, how is serving the secret to our salvation? All right, how does that work? How does just that act of serving get it done? And here's the answer. Serving is both sanctifying and satisfying, okay? It just is chock full of both those things. Because sanctification, as we all know, it's one of those churchy words. I hate it. Sanctification is just transformation, right? Just changing. It is the process of replacing our old sinful lives with holy new lives, right? And every act of Jesus-like serving eliminates an opportunity for life-threatening sin. It's that simple. Like, we're just really distracting ourselves. Basically, if we are busy doing the good that God wants us to do, we just won't have time to give in to sin, right? Like, I'm just busy already doing something that I ought to do. You ever hear that saying, idle hands are the devil's workshop? Or who heard playground over workshop? Playground people?
Yeah.
Workshop people. Okay, I think it's a generational thing. I think that's what it is. Idle hands, I always heard idle hands are the devil's playground. Well, it's biblical, guys. This is absolute truth. Paul says, do not give the devil a foothold. Anyone who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work, doing something useful with their own hands, right? You can't be stealing if your hands are busy building. It's an impossibility. But they got to be doing something useful with their hands that they may have something to share with those in need. We're talking about serving. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Serving, 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 right? That is the thrust right here. And it's all to distract us. Don't let the devil get that foothold. By putting our focus on helping others, serving stops sin before it starts. Right? You can't. You're already busy doing the good deeds. Because it keeps our focus off of that self-serving sin that's in this world's way, right? The way that we are all naturally going. The way that Jesus says, well, whoever wants to save their life will lose it. But whoever loses their life for me will find it. So what good will it be for someone to gain the whole world yet forfeit their soul? Or better yet, what can anyone give in exchange for their soul? And I'm telling you right now, I don't think that's a rhetorical question, okay? What can anyone give in exchange for their soul? That's just actually a real question, and he just answered it at the beginning of that same scripture. Give your worldly life to Jesus, and you get eternal life for your soul. And that's just simple math. And we know that giving our life for someone else is the ultimate act of serving. Because after saying that he came to serve, Jesus added to give his life as a ransom for many. Right? They're synonymous. This is what we're doing. So therefore, says Paul, therefore, brothers and sisters, I urge you, in view of God's mercy, given his life, well, I urge you to offer your bodies as living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship, doing what he did. So do not conform to the pattern of this self-serving world, but instead be transformed by the renewing of your mind, you know, as you give your life over to Jesus' service, as you follow him, you're transforming by changing your actions to match his. Because in the end, every single human life has the exact same choice, conform or transform. Okay, every single day, every choice, conform to this world or transform beyond it. We can follow the way of this world, which inevitably leads to death. I've never seen anybody not have a life that didn't end in death. It inevitably leads to death. Or we can point ourselves in the opposite direction, which then should logically lead to life. Swim against this world. Because when we choose to oppose this self-serving world by modeling our lives after a self-sacrificing Jesus, we start to transform our identity as we discover our purpose. And we get to see how it works. Again, that's what we're doing here. You guys know this. And Paul explains this, and then John actually tags onto it and shows us how to attain this. We're told, you were taught, with regard to your former way of life, to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, right? Just get that out of here. And to be made new in the attitudes of your mind, right? Take on that mind of Christ. And then to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Okay? You're created to be like God in that true righteousness, because he who practices righteousness is righteous, just as Jesus is righteous. And we're created to be like God. You see how that works out? We were created to be like God in true righteousness, which takes practicing righteousness, which takes serving others. Okay, because that's what he came to do. He's laying out that example. That's what we got to do, to practice righteousness, to be righteous, so that we can achieve our created purpose to be like God. And basically, again, it's this simple. Keeping our actions out of evil's reach keeps them under God's influence. As long as we're doing things where evil can't be a part of it, then we're doing things for God. We are following in his footsteps. And every single day that we serve others over ourselves, we discover more and more godly truths that just keep inspiring and encouraging our ongoing transformation. He'll let you know that you are on the right path, because you'll be walking in those footsteps of Jesus toward that real identity of who you are. And that is all because serving satisfies the deeper goals of our souls. It is what connects us with our true identity. And in fact, once we finally reject the underwhelming offerings of this world, which isn't that hard. I mean, just live for a while. it is not so great down here, right? There's a lot of underwhelming things in this world. And so as soon as we can say, I want better, well, then each higher desire that we develop is actually revealed to be in reach of our true self, you know? Oh, I don't want to die. You don't have to. You don't have to. When you start thinking, oh, it could be this, it could be this, it can be that. The real you can reach for those things, because following Jesus teaches us a few very important lessons. One, serving is a sign of strength. Okay? The more you serve, the more you understand that. It teaches that serving is a sign of strength, not weakness. And it teaches us that serving helps us to find and flex our strength. Okay, we have different strengths. You'll find out what it is, that where your strength lies, and then you get to use it. And that is so satisfying. And then it teaches us. Serving connects and completes us. Right? Because that's the ultimate strength, is when we all come together and work together, there's nothing that we can't do as the body of Christ. Because ultimately, serving guides us to uncover that true identity as a powerful instrument of God himself, meant to edify and unify and sanctify all of his children, just like Jesus did. That is a huge calling. That is incredible. And that is both an honor and it's a necessity. It actually has to happen. We're called to serve, and it has to happen, because I'm going to say something that's, it sounds uncomfortable, but bear with me. It's because there are a few things that God himself can't do without a servant's help. Okay? It's true. And his number one priority, he can't do without a servant's help. Because his number one priority is to change our hearts. And he cannot change our heart without a servant's help. And he does it on purpose. He designed things that way. He keeps that task out of his hands because we can't have true love without free will. So he had to let us be in charge of our own heart. So he can't change it, and he needs a servant help. So when we step up to serve others, we're really helping him to humble our own heart so that we can develop the love that has that power to hold us together once we're reunited. So keep that in mind when the servant gets tough, when you're serving other people and you're like, oh boy, I don't know about this. Instead, serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord, not people. Because it is hard to serve people sometimes. But when you see what it's all getting at, you're serving the Lord. Because the best part is serving him just means saving us. That's all he wants to do. That's his big goal. That's the whole purpose. He just wants to save us, all of his children. And as much as we would like to believe in our ability to do that, we couldn't. We can't. We tried, but we didn't even know how to serve him until he sent Jesus to serve us. Right? That's the whole Old Testament story, is how bad we were at all of that. And so this just goes to prove that no matter what, we cannot outgive God. We can't outserve him. It is so clever and so brilliantly set up that even the things that we need to step in and serve God with are just still for our benefit. And so the best we can ever do is just try to follow his example, because he loves, he gives, and he serves perfectly. So I'm going to ask again, do you prefer to serve or to be served? And the real answer is this: you won't know until you try. Right? Because you can think about it all day, but you won't know until you actually go try. Because believe me, I thought I would not like it. I did. I like people serving me. But then you go do it and it feels good. And God promises, absolutely 100% promises, that you're going to prefer serving others over them serving you by a million miles. And his reasons are real good, what we just talked about, because when serving sanctifies our actions, it transforms our life. When we start really doing it, you just start to see who you were, who you're supposed to be. And we can begin to see our true identity and start stepping into it. And when serving reveals our identity, it satisfies our soul. Right? I mean, identity crisis. That's just what we're all going through. Why am I here? Who am I? What am I supposed to do? This reveals it. And that is so satisfying. And it's satisfying because finding our fit is the very definition of fulfillment. You know, knowing where I belong, what I'm supposed to do while I'm here. And I'm telling you, that's what church is all about, you guys. Why we are here, why we are coming together. We are here because church is all about finding your fit to serve your part in the body of Christ. Because when you do that, it is so satisfying. Every soul, when we do that, every soul with a higher desire can be sanctified and satisfied. And so I want to help you out. So I'm going to help you out. We're going to help you out. You may have noticed when you come in, there's some strange things happening in the back there. Well, this week and next week, we have a special treat for you. All of our ministries here at His Place, and there are a lot of them because you guys are amazing and a lot of you guys are already serving in so many different ways, but all of our ministries here at His Place have set up booths for you to peruse with all the opportunities we have to serve each other and thereby serve the Lord. So I want you to think of it as like a ministry fair, like when, you know, you'd have a job fair or college fair in like high school and they'd all come in. Well, this is a ministry fair that is designed to help you plug into your created purpose so that you can accelerate your transformation from that helpless human into that satisfied soul. So I'm going to ask you to take a look at the tables on the map on the back of your transcript. If you didn't grab a transcript, there's some more in the back as well. And while we're closing up the service here, just be thinking about how you can summon the courage to take that uncomfortable step away from your same old life of sneaking out of church and just going like, I went to church, you're welcome, Lord. Instead of that same old life, taking that step toward that exciting eternity that has unpredictable encouragement. Is that a deal? I'll tell you there's stuff in it for you. We'll bribe you, don't worry, because we know you're human. But before we get to that, what I'm going to do, let's pray about it right now while we're thinking about it. You're summoning that courage, okay? Father God, oh boy, do we love you and we serve you because we trust your superior plan to sanctify and satisfy and save us. And so, Holy Spirit, we ask that you encourage us to give up our underwhelming lives so that we can transform into that true, satisfying identity. And Lord Jesus, we want to thank you for proving the power and purpose of serving so that we can fearlessly stand up and follow your example and find our own eternal fulfillment. And to that, everybody said, Amen.
Well, thanks for listening in. Why don't you join us on a Sunday morning? If you'd like more information about the church, just point your browser to hisplacechurch.com. Until next time, may the Lord bless you, keep you, and make his face shine upon you.